Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God with love. Praise God with love. Praise God with love. Father, thank you for allowing me to connect with my listening audience. Thank you that as I pray and speak, I am not interrupted by any satanic or demonic force. Holy Spirit, have your way with my thoughts. I thank you for speaking through my vocal cords and thinking through my mind. Let it be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hello, and welcome to the Sunday segment of Continuous Prayer is Power to Heal. I am Reverend Diane Hobson, your host and senior pastor of Global Exchange Christian Church, as well as the president of Global Exchange Christian University. I want you to, at this particular time, that if you have your Bible, please go with me to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, and we will immediately go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and ending with our third opening scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. That's Roman. Of course, we're in the New Testament. And I continue, in case someone's listening for the first time, we go to the New Testament because in these last days, we are in the New Testament, which is the New Testament dispensation. And we are talking about the grace of God and the gifts of the Spirit, and we're talking about the believer's authority, all the things that you need to know to get yourself from point A to point B, trying to define as much as we possibly can for you to be successful with you, family, at work, children, marriage. All of this can be done. You just hang in there and follow step by step and stick to the verse. Okay, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and then Romans. Verse 9 reads that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God hath raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 6:33 reads, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Let's read that one more time. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All what things? You will have knowledge of your marriage. You will have knowledge of how you should be raising your children. If you have children, you will have knowledge on how to be a good caregiver. You will have knowledge about how to work on the job and how to walk in love. You will have knowledge of what you should provide for your family. You will have knowledge of when to act, how to act. And you will have knowledge of the things that need to be changed in your character. You will have knowledge of all of these. You seek first the kingdom of God. You have lack, God will teach you how to not have any lack in your life. If you're sick, he will teach you how to get rid of your sickness and disease, because he sent his son to the cross over 2,000 years ago. We have healing available to us. There is no one that should be sick and in the body of Christ. No one. Every church should be dealing with healing before they end the service. Every church. And, of course, a lot of churches are not, but they should be. We have too many Christians who are relying on the hospital to make them well when Jesus already gave us. If you are born again Christian, you got healing on the side inside of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's like saying, I'll use an example. That's like saying, okay, you got your driver's license, but you don't want to drive. You want the person that gave you your driver's license to drive your car. Why would you want that? And you've been given your driver's license, you've been given permission to drive. But you want somebody else to drive because it's like, well, I know I have permission, but I'm just not driving. I'm not going to drive. You know, we're like, okay, you got your driver's license. You wanted to drive when you didn't have your driver's license. Now you got your driver's license, you can drive. So that's what we're talking about. Okay, so let's look at today's segment. The title of the program today is God's Gift of the Spirit Allows Supernatural Manifestation. Supernatural manifestations. We've been talking about miracles and how to get a miracle, but if you don't know about the gifts of the Spirit, probably you, and if you're not in the Word to know about these things, probably you're not going to be attached to the supernatural. Okay, so we're going to go over this, and these are things that we were talking about. We were talking about miracles and things of that nature, and I told you that we're going to go slow. We're not going to go fast because there are different segments that you need to know about. Say, for instance, like the kind of faith that's needed. That's just an example that if you want to manifest a miracle, most of the time it takes additional faith. I've heard about this. It takes more faith than just saving faith. Saving faith is what we had when we became a born-again Christian. But you need additional. Churches are not teaching on this either. So we're going to talk about this more so that the churches can step up to the plate and begin to teach on that. So if you're listening to this and you know, you say, for instance, you're in a church and you are one of the leaders in the church, then talk to someone and say, hey, why don't we start doing a study of the gifts of the Spirit? Because these are things that Paul wanted us to know. It's for the whole church. It's not just for the pastor. Let's read it. You can find a listing of the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 through 10. And we will read that information. These gifts of the Spirit is expected to be used in every church by pastors, ministerial staff, and through the believers. Now let me read that again. These gifts of the Spirit is expected to be used in every church by pastors, ministerial staff, and through the believers. Something that the pastors are supposed to be doing is something that the entire congregation is to be getting in, you should get involved in the gifts of the Spirit. This is why it's so important to read your Bible, because if you're reading the Bible, you are not only showing that you are walking in the image of God. If God made us in his image and he knows about the gifts of the Spirit, don't you think we should know a little something about the gifts of the Spirit? We're made in his image. And there's not very many people who are walking around and will say, well, you know, I'm not interested in doing better. You might hear somebody say, well, you know, I'm only interested in myself, my family, and my dog, and I don't care about nobody else. Well, I mean, I'm not going to say that's okay. That's not going to stop you from going to heaven, but God would like for you to do something more than that, because there are people out here that need help. And first of all, I just want to stop for a moment and pause and just pray for a moment for the families that are over in Paris and London, and we just want to show them that we care, and their families are in our prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you We know that anytime something like this, something tragic happens like this, we know that the enemy is involved. And we just pray that every family understands and they don't blame you for that disaster. There's an enemy out there. And every time there's a disaster, something of that magnitude, it's involving the enemy, the devil. But there's so many people that don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And he's so happy that you don't have a clue. But anyway, we're praying for the family. We thank you, Father, for giving them peace. Help them to grieve and be understanding as to what happened, how it happened. And if they're not Christians, hopefully they will become one so they can better understand of what's taking place. We pray that, Father, in Jesus' name. Okay, let's go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. We read Matthew 6:33, and Matthew 6:33, of course, it tells us to seek first the kingdom of God, right? Okay, so let's put Joshua 1 and 8 with that scripture. It reads, it's in the Old Testament, Joshua, the book of Joshua. And after the book of Deuteronomy, that five books in the Old Testament, and then Joshua is after the five books. We have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. Okay? All right. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let me read that again. I may just go to number 9 as well. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. That doesn't mean you have to walk around with the Bible in your hand and reading 12 scriptures in 24 hours a day. That's not what it's saying, okay? I'm going to explain when I read it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. A lot of times, and I often tell people, if they're just starting reading the Bible, read just one verse per day. And when you read that verse, you can read it more than once. You can read it 5, 6, 3 times, 2 times, and meditate on it throughout the day. You're carrying that verse with you. That verse becomes a part of you. And this is how you're getting through the Bible at least your first 90 days that you are starting to read the Bible. If you read one verse, and I guide everybody to the New Testament, Matthew, starting with Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. Read one scripture, which is one verse, one sentence. That's, in other words, a verse is one sentence. One sentence. And you'll see like verse 1 and then verse 2 and verse 3. So read one verse, and the next day read another verse, verse 2. Next day read verse 3. But meditate on that verse throughout the day. Why am I saying that? So that you can get used to it. I am bringing this forward to you so that you will have not only the knowledge of the word, but you will be able to understand it. And we're actually supposed to be meditating on the word, because before you can understand, sometimes before you can understand what you've read, the devil will come and take the word away from you. So before he can do that, meditate on it. Understand. Say, God, what do you want me to get out of this word? And just kind of meditate. Let it go through your mind. What does this word mean to me? Ask God questions. When you're praying, you're supposed to put on the whole armor of God. We talked about that. Put on the whole armor of God when you're going into prayer. The breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and your shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's to take the word into prayer. What are you praying about? When you do that, when you're doing your scripture, if you're just starting on the Bible, then you take that scripture, that first scripture you read, God, what does this mean? What do you want me to get out of this? And just sit there a couple of minutes and just study him softly. Listen, meditate. That's what it means. Meditate. We don't do, Christians don't meditate. We just don't meditate. We don't like meditating. It takes time to do that. But you will be surprised at how much you will get out of it when you're meditating. And when you start meditating on a regular basis, have pencils all over your house and little sheets of paper, little notebooks, little books, little things, or little pads to write on, because he will start, God will start talking when he sees you're serious. And you're trying to figure out how to work through a problem. He can show you how to work through a problem. If you spend some time with him, he'll show you. Okay? Now let me just go and read verse 9 in Joshua 1. Hast not I commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed. For the Lord thy God, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever you goest. Wherever you go, he's with you. He wants you to have be prosperous. And the verse ahead of that said, if you meditate on his word day and night, you will make your way prosperous and have good success. But how do we know that's even in the Bible? You know why we don't know that's in the Bible? We're walking around talking about, oh, it's me. You got Christians walking, oh, my goodness, they're going to lay me off. Well, wait a minute. I just read that we'll make our way prosperous if we go to the Word. So we got to make up our mind what we're going to do. Either we're going to be a Christian and follow the rules of this book, or we're going to be a Christian and say, well, I'm going to do my own thing. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. And there are Christians out there like that. And you won't change. You're not going to ever change if you're talking like that and thinking like that. Okay, so let's look at, I'm in 1 Corinthians 12, and I'm going to read 7 through 10. The manifestation of the Spirit. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And it says the importance of the Spirit. I'm going to go in, I read 11, and I'm going to go to verse 12. It says, for as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, as also is Christ. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Chapters 12 through 14, Paul deals with the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the body of Christ. Now, we have 9 gifts of the Spirit that we expect the body of Christ to utilize, and we're going to go through them little by little, so just take probably a few weeks to do that. But we want to delve into them because, and I, you know, we may be whatever, however the Holy Spirit leads me, I may, you know, stick something in between going through that, but basically, you do need to know. And he's given me information on how to get the information to you, but I'm not going to cram it all down your throat because you can't get it all at once. And as I said before in my last segment, try to listen to these tapes more than once, because something like the gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to be defining them, and you really need to know what they mean. Paul deals with the gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the body of Christ. These gifts were an indispensable part of the early church's life and ministry. God intends that these gifts continue in operation until the return of Jesus Christ. His purposes for the spiritual gifts are as follows. I'm going to read them real quickly because, okay, I'm going to read 4 because this is just quick. Number, it's a number of things, but we're going to go through what, right now I'm going to read 4 reasons why we should know the 4 purposes of spiritual gifts. First one is to manifest the grace, power, and love of the Holy Spirit among his people in their public gatherings, homes, families, and individual lives. Two, to help make the preaching of the gospel to lost people effective by giving supernatural confirmation to the message. Third, to meet human needs and to strengthen and build up spiritually both the church and individual believers. That is, to perfect believers in love out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned. I'm reading out of my study Bible, so I have a study Bible that I've taken it so many times, and I got so many notes in here, I don't want to throw it away. So I am reading it. I mean, it's still pretty much together. I've taken it, but it's hanging in there, holding on. I've had it a long time. Yes, I had a well over 10. Okay, but anyway, to wage effective spiritual war against Satan and the forces of evil, that's number four. Okay, so all of this is helping. All of this is helping. And there's a couple more statements. Okay. Alrighty, it says that some gifts may be manifested through an individual or regular basis, and a believer may have more than one gift to minister to particular needs. The believer ought to desire gifts, not just one. So, in other words, they're out there, they're available for all of believers to use them. And you can use more than one. You can ask to use more than one. Okay, and now the wisdom is the first one we deal with. There are nine, and they're grouped off in three groups, and we'll talk about the groups next time, about the different groups, how the ministry, the gifts of the Spirit are grouped off, and there are three groups, and we'll go over the groups and which ones are in what group. We will go over that. But we also want you to know that the manifestation of the Spirit are given according to the will of the Spirit. When need arises and according to the earnest desire of the believer. So when the need arises, in other words, you can't operate in these gifts unless the Holy Spirit allows you to. Let's get that straight right now. Unless the Holy Spirit allows you to, but he wants you to be willing to operate in them so that he can use you when he needs to use you. To use those gifts. The Holy Spirit is manifested through a variety of spiritual gifts given through believers. These manifestations of the Spirit are intended for the upbuilding and sanctification of the church. They are not the same as the gifts and as the gifts and ministries mentioned in Romans 12:6-8 and Ephesians 4:11. Whereby a believer receives the power and ability to minister in a more permanent manner in the church. The list in 1 Corinthians 12, 8-10 is not necessarily exhaustive, and the gifts may occur in various combinations. So I just want to make sure that everyone understands that the gifts of the Spirit are very important. The believers are expected to know them and operate in them. We read them, and I'll do it one more time, read it, go through them real quickly. The wisdom, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, and the gift of discerning of spirits, the gift of signs of tongues, and then the gift of interpretation. So those are the nine gifts, and they each have a meaning, and they're not the same meaning as, you know, the wisdom that you use to go daily basis and you say, for instance, you have the wisdom to know what street to go down to get to work, or you know the wisdom to take a shortcut if you need to. So it's not the same thing. It's a little bit different. And we're gonna. That's why I say we're going to go over them, and we're going to define them so you will understand and you will know exactly what the gifts of the Spirit, what it is. We won't get it. We won't do them all in one day, but we are going to do, you know, a little at a time. Maybe we'll do two or three. We could do two or three per day, per time that we talk. And that way you can go back and listen. Okay, so I just thank each of you for taking the time to be concerned and turning to the station and joining me in this program on today. They're mostly operated as tutorials. It's teaching you things about the Bible, it's teaching you what you should know, it's teaching you how to operate in your power as a believer. Because we have a number of believers who don't even know they have power. So we want that to change. Father, we just thank you for bringing forth the gifts of the Spirit. We know that the gifts of the Spirit are so important. The Holy Spirit was given to us as our helper, and he wants us to advance further than we are. We're not just plain bored of being Christians. He wants us to step up a level so that we can operate in the supernatural, doing miracles, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, raising the dead, and we just know that that's what you want us to do. So we thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for letting us know that we need to meditate in your word so that we will know and get it down on the inside of us. Oh, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. I just pray right now, and I declare that anybody having any pain in their stomach, if you are having stomach, I declare right now, I take coming the power and authority of God, and I take authority over that pain in your stomach. And I declare that you are healed right now from that pain in your stomach. And if you have pain in anywhere in your body, I declare that you are a healed person right now. Believe it and receive it. And you can heal yourself by laying hands on yourself or speaking positively over your body that's sick. Or going to 1 Peter 2:24. Okay? So we always like to invite you to become a member, and you can do so by sending in $12 a month. So that's for if you want to become a member with this ministry, Global Exchange Christian Church, and that's 955 Massachusetts Avenue, Suite 252, Cambridge, Massachusetts, 02139. We just thank you for considering that. You can send more than $12, or you can say, well, I don't have $12, but I can't afford three. Say if you want to become a regular member with $3, that's acceptable. You want to become a member, regular member at $5. That's what I did some time ago. I went and I started at $2.50. And then I went up to $3. And then I jumped from $3. I said, God, I want to do $5. And God honored that. I said, I don't ever want to and give an offering or anything that's less than $5. God has honored that. I have not been having that. I never, for a very long time, I know it's been well over 2 years or more, that I've always had the opportunity to at least give something. And it's always come back to me. I mean, I trust me, I don't just give $5 or $4. But I'm just saying that one because I went to those times some years ago when I was in school and I was in a wheelchair and all this stuff. So, but I always wanted to give. I never stopped giving. And that was, you know, that one. So we thank you, Father, for the listening audience that you provided for me today. Thank you that we came together. And I look forward to pray for somebody, find somebody you can pray for and show love. Christmas holidays are coming up. Show love to someone. We want you to show love to your family members. We want you to show love to everybody that you're concerned with, that surrounds your lifestyle or surrounds your life or lives in your household. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.